This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Are you guys ready, inshallah? Say Bismillah. Bismillah. The passage of today is a story. And that story is the oldest story in human being history that is ever documented. Like, there's no history, there's no story that is older than the one I'm about to tell you. Nothing that happened on earth. I'm not saying about Adam and Eve and in general. No, on earth, the first story we have documented. Yes, things happened before it, no doubt, for sure. But we don't have it documented. Fair enough? Where is that story found in the Quran? In chapter number 5. What surah is chapter number 5? Al-Ma'idah, fantastic. So this surah Al-Ma'idah, when was it revealed? When he was in Mecca or when he was in Medina? What do you think? Take a shot. Mecca, close. Huh? Medina, ahsant, excellent. I tried to be nice, you guys are not nice. MashaAllah, all right? May Allah bless you. Medina, right? So now, okay, one of us may be sitting like, brother, Mecca or Medina, what does it differ? Yani, what's the point? Does it matter? Yes. In Mecca, the Muslims were persecuted. In Mecca, the Muslims were in a very tough situation. In Mecca, Muslims were dying out of zulm. Our first martyr ever was a sister, a lady. Her name is Sumayya, Allahu Akbar, right? So all that. In Mecca, Aisha teaches us, radiallahu anha, the first thing Allah revealed, heaven, hell, belief in God, spirituality, heart softeners, all that where? In Mecca. Medina, rules, halal, halas. Now we went to next level now. Now we have a city. We have an Islamic state. We need the halal and the haram. Oh, in Medina, there are Jewish people. So now we got to talk about something about Judaism, right? So that's what much of the ayat in Medina constitute. And now even in this surah, Al-Ma'idah talks a lot about the people of the book. If you ever want to learn about Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam, go to Al-Ma'idah. Powerful. Ya Bani Israel, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, this, oh, beautiful stuff. So why are you telling us all this? Just get to the story. No, to appreciate the story, we have to give you the background. Fair enough? There's a story behind it. I never used to like that introduction, by the way. I remember when I first bought the biography of the Prophet ﷺ, the first chapter tells you the environment around the world. The Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. Allah, I used to skip the life out of that chapter. I'm not here for the Roman Empire. I'm here for Rasulullah ﷺ. But you know what? The guy who authored that book is a genius. Because to appreciate the Prophet, appreciate the process. Like, you gotta know how dark the world was to appreciate the light Muhammad gave, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're gonna go through the story, but you gotta realize, like, what's before it, what's after it, what's the theme, all the good stuff. Tayyib, it's in Medina, fantastic, about the people of the book. Tabiyallah. Let's go to the ayat, and I will go now, tell you more history, inshallah. Allah says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. Word by word. What's watlu? Give me one word. Watlu. Read. Allah's telling who to read? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So far, so good. Read, ya Muhammad. Alayhim. On them. Read to them. Who's them? If you don't know the behind the scenes, you will not know who them are. Or do you know? Who's them? Try. Kafirin. Kafirin. Na'am, part of it. Ahsant. MashaAllah. Tabarakallah. What else? Watlu alayhim, tell them. More specific. Who's them? Ahl al-Kitab. Fantastic. You want to be more specific? Yes, yes, you. Yes, go ahead. Who is it? Al-Yahud wal-Nasara? Close. Ahsant. Yes, pretty much, right? And generally, it would be Bani Israel. And some ulama, when they do the tafsir, they go further deep. So we said people of the book. Then we said Jews and the Christians. Then some ulama go as further as saying the Yahud. Right? Why alayhim? Because if you read the previous ayat, you will know the connection. You're going to go know previous ayat. I'm not a hafiz. I don't memorize the whole surah. Tayyib, I'll test you guys out. What was the previous ayat about without checking Google? What were the previous ayat about? Bani Israel, smart man. Children of Israel, you're right. But it's a big story. Like when I tell you, like, wow, I never knew. The ayat before it. Go ahead. Tafaddali. You're right. It's about Musa alayhi salam. نعم. ادخلوا الأرض المقدسة. The story before it, Musa with his brother Aaron or Harun, they finally escaped Egypt. Pharaoh is dead. Takbir, alhamdulillah, right? So now Allah gave him the promised land. Yes, in the Quran, it was the promised land if they fulfilled the command. It's not promised if you don't fulfill. You see the difference? Mish promised, I promised to give you a gift. طيب, if you pass the test. Not you failed, you promised me a gift. Well, if you passed, you failed. And now they're taking it till this day. It was promised, yeah, but you failed. Right? التي كتب الله لكم. Right? Go to the promised land that Allah has written for you, meaning if you work towards it, you will get it. What did the Bani Israel do of Musa? Oh, Musa, no. I'm not going to go to Palestine today. Al-Ard al-Muqaddasa, the blessed land. No, we're not going. Who's saying that? The children of Israel. Subhanallah. Why? Fiha qawman, what? Jabbat. Oh, the people right now in that area are tyrants. I'm not going in there and fight these tyrants. No, Musa, no. What are you talking about? Allah says, if you walk in, you will win. Trust me, all what you have to do is just take one step towards it and Allah's victory will come. You have to just walk the talk. Take one step and Allah will run to you. Just take that one step, the way I hit the staff to the ocean. Remember? The ocean split like two mountains. But what did it require? With a stick hit the ocean. It would not split if I didn't take the means. Jazakallah khair. No, we're not going. اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا موسى. You and your Lord that you love him so much. Is he not your Lord as well? Disrespectful. Musa, you and your Lord go and fight. As for me and my family and Bani Israel, هاهنا قاعدون. We're sitting. So when you win, call me up. أعوذ بالله in the Quran. So then Musa عليه السلام is very disturbed by that. And when they reached the peak of arrogance and two righteous people told them, you should not be doing that. يخافون. Those who fear Allah said, you shouldn't be saying the aib, shame on you. Said, call me whatever you want to call me. We're not going in there. I don't care about Allah's promises. Then what does Musa say? Oh Allah, I have control over no one. No one is on my side except me and my brother. You see what just happened? Me and my brother. So now the story is shifting to two brothers, which we'll talk about. The two sons of Adam. So all this was the word what? Alayhim. Good luck finishing the session today. This was just atmatlu alayhim. Tell them, Ya Muhammad, tell the Yahud, tell Bani Israel, Naba'a, the news, the information about the two children of Adam bilhaq. This story is true. This story is not fake. It's not man-made. It's not a story that happened that will never happen. No. This story happened. This story is happening. And this story may continue to happen. Wow. So out of everything that happened in the life of Adam on earth, that's the one part that we know. So Allah's selecting one small part of Adam's life and his children and Hawa. We don't know anything about their marriage in dunya, right? But that one part, Allah wants it in the Quran until the Day of Judgment, because you and I can relate to it. Because you and I can reflect upon it. May Allah allow us to fulfill this trust, Amir Rabbil Alameen. Okay, fantastic. So now what's the point of this story with Bani Israel? Connect it. What's the connection? What do you think Bani Israel, the Yahud, need to know? Now think of Medina. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling them about what? Islam. Let me tell you the reaction. Before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed up, the Yahud in Medina, they were telling other Arab, non-Muslims, there's no Islam in Medina yet, Aus and Khazraj, yastaftihuna. They used to tell them, wallahi, watch, when the final prophet comes on my team, we will knock you all out, or you Arab, Aus and Khazraj. And they knew everything about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they used to always warn the Arab. That's why some of the Yahud used to live in Medina, because they knew he's coming here. And one of the signs is the palm trees. That was the location. Are you guys with me? So now I want to imagine the picture of how Allah is revealing a story for that group of people. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what does he say? فَلَمَّا بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْعَرَبِ. When eventually Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he was not one of them. Not from their lineage. Not from our cousins, as they say, right? Not from Isaac. He came from Ismail. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam has two children. Ibrahim has two children. Ishaq and Ismail. Almost every single prophet you know in the book, almost, is from Isaac. Dawood, Sulaiman, Zakaria, Isa, you just name it. All there. The only prophet from Ismail is one. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were, Bani Israel is from that lineage, pretty much. So they told the Aus and Khazraj, wait till we have a prophet from our own. Guess what? He came from the other side of the family, from Ismail. So then Ibn Abbas says, فَلَمَّا بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْعَرَبِ كَفَرُوا بِهِ وَجَحَدُوا مَا كَانُوا يَقُولُونَ فِيهِ. When he came from the Arab, they rejected him. They did not accept him. Then the Arab themselves, who used to be threatened, they became Muslim. Ahsan. So then when they became Muslim, they went to the Yahud in Medina. Hey, didn't you guys teach us about Muhammad? We became Muslim because of you. Just like today, people becoming Muslim because of them. I became Muslim because of you. Well, that's not the one we were talking about. What do you mean? You gave us 99.99% of the information. It was accurate. Well, his name is Muhammad, the praiseworthy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they didn't know his what? The Arab part. Why did they not believe? Jealous. Hasad. Why you and not me? Why Muhammad from the Arab and not from Bani Israel? La, I will never accept them. So hasad destroys nations. Hasad destroys individuals. Hasad destroys families. Hasad destroys communities. So, with that being said, what story will they be hearing now? Beware of hasad. Because hasad can get really ugly. And I'll show you an example. Ya Bani Israel, Ya Muhammad, tell them the story of envy between two brothers. We're one humanity. We're one human beings. We all are from Adam. All of us are from Adam, and Adam is from Turab, from dust. What are you envious for? So let's see the story. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. Okay, so there's two sons of Adam. The majority of the scholars, they say, it was the immediate sons of Adam, alayhi salam. Fantastic. إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانَا. Now, both of them, they went to proceed towards sacrificing something for, as an act of worship. قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانَا. They went to offer a sacrifice for who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the outside, they both did a good deed. Now, if we want to go to the Bible, and it mentions, do you know their names in the Bible? Cain and Abel. An Arabi. Qabil wa Habil. Right? In the Quran, Allah does not mention any names, but we can reference them, no harm, inshallah. Sounds good? So they are doing that good deed. The issue when we reference the Bible is the stuff that will contradict the religion or adds information that might weaken the point of the story. So I'll give an example. It says, but don't be thrown off by it, I'm just giving you one example. In the Bible, it says, other scripture, that who's older, Cain or Abel? Qabil. Qabil is the older brother. Habil is the younger brother. Who is physically stronger? Habil, the younger brother. Okay. What was it that they sacrificed? Qabil, he had a farm, and he gave the worst quality as a donation. And a plant that is about to die, yalla, sell it, right? Give it for donation. Habil had what? He was a shepherd. So he gave the best goat or sheep. None of that is mentioned here. And actually, that part, though it's mentioned a lot whenever the story is narrated, I'd rather not say it. I'd rather not take it into account too much. Why? Because Allah did not differentiate what they gave. Allah says they both gave. Don't worry about what is it, quantity, expensive, high quality, cheap. No, no. They both gave. So every one of them sacrificed something. طيب. What happened? Allah says, فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. Allah says, one of the sacrifices was accepted and the other was not accepted. step by step. Did they know that? We will see. We will see. Today's time, can you know if Allah accepted your deed? Is there like a clear-cut light? Can you imagine at Maghrib Salah, whoever Allah accept their fasting, Allah glows their face, like there's nur. Can you imagine you go to the dinner table and like, what's wrong? Like, oh, don't worry about it. Because Allah didn't accept you, so there's no light that shined. So it's actually a blessing from Allah that it doesn't show you and show the world explicitly that you have been accepted by Allah. It's a rahmah. And can you imagine you walk to the masjid and you're so light, mashallah. What will happen if you walk to ICD like this? Brother, make dua from you're one of them people. So alhamdulillah, there's no signs that Allah really accepted 100% your deed, right? It's a feeling you may get, signs Allah gives you. So our nation is different than their nation, right? Imagine you pass by a house on Schaefer, there's no lights, munafiqun, right? No, right? Subhanallah. So the question to you, do we have signs that Allah accepted your presence today? Are there signs that Allah perhaps accepted the presentation today? Are there signs that Allah accepted the volunteers' work today? Are there signs that Allah can send your way to tell you, you're doing a good job, keep it up? We have a sign? Tab, tell me one. This sign. Wallah, I feel the best snap in the world in this sign. May Allah bless you. No, just joking. Tab, give me one sign. Anyone from there. How do you know is Allah accepting your good deeds? Makeup stuff, yani, but in halal, tamam. Anyway, tell me. It's okay if I ask you, how old are you? 13. MashaAllah. Allah barik feek. Sharp. MashaAllah. Good stuff. What did you say? Don't worry about it. Right. He got the light. I'll take the light. MashaAllah. May Allah bless you and protect you. He actually gave a sign that was not my, I didn't even think about it. So it's just so nice, like when I'm learning from you guys as well. So he said, one of the signs that perhaps Allah accepted your deed is that Allah gives you a lot more in return opportunity. For example, you gave a $10 donation. You see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you like a paycheck somehow. You get a raise. So perhaps it's a sign that Allah accepted your donation. Excellent. MashaAllah. When you do something good, you feel good. That's a nice way, right? Mumkin. Ahsant. Subhanallah. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question. And inshallah, all of you memorize the hadith, okay? Or the meaning of it. Khalas, ready, inshallah? Well, iftar very soon, inshallah. You'll remember this for the rest of your life. It's kind of similar to what you said. May Allah bless you. A sahabi went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, a person does a good deed, something good. فَيَحْمَدُهُ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ Then the people start to praise the brother or the sister that did that good. Now, what happens when someone praises your work? You like it, right? You feel, oh, thank you. So, Ya Rasulullah, what do you say about that? People praising someone for their work, though the man or the woman did it for Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تِلْكَ عَاجِلُ بُشْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِ People's compliments to your good work is a fast, speedy, hasty news from Allah that He accepted your work. So now, when people praise the good that you do, that's one of the best signs that Allah accepted it. So you should not be focused and too happy that Ahmed just praised me. No. Ahmed's praise to me means Allah accepted. So I'm happy for the process that Allah, really, you accepted? You see the difference? You're excited that perhaps Allah was sending Ahmed as a messenger to you that keep it up. Allahu Akbar. May Allah accept from all of us. Say ameen. So here, in this story, فَتُقُبِّلَ بِنْ أَحَدِيمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنْ الْآخَرِ I will not move until I ask you another question. But we won't take that long, so forgive me. What do you think the one that was not accepted? So I prayed, then it was made clear to them in that nation, that time, both knew who was accepted and who wasn't, by the way. So the one that was not accepted, my salah was not accepted. Allah made it clear. You want to go back to the scripture, tell you how? Okay, and see, when we go story mode, like completely story mode, doesn't matter the source, everybody's like, tell us. I'm the same way, by the way. So the story was, is that it's back in the day, Bani Israel, in the time of Adam, alayhi salam, When people used to sacrifice something from Allah, they used to put, let's say, this and that in donation. Lightning or thunder strikes the product or the item or the thing you sacrificed. When the light strikes it, that means you won. Allah accepted. And the one that does not have the light striking it, that means it was not accepted. Fair enough? So when they both gave that qurban, that donation, the lightning struck the donation of Habil. But Cain, Qabil, still here. You want to stretch the life off of it? Yallah, Shaniqa, very nice. When I read it, I'm like, wow, that's nice. In the books of Tafsir, it says, when Habil donated what? What was he? A shepherd. So what would he donate? An animal, a sheep or so. When Allah took it, it was the sheep that Ibrahim slaughtered instead of Ismail. What an interesting part, right? SubhanAllah. Let's go back to the real deal, okay? Allah says, bilhaq. Just tell them bilhaq, okay? Don't worry about these things. So now, I want you, forgive me, for one moment to be a bad person, mentally, for a moment, okay? You are now in Qabil's shoe. Your deed was not accepted. Your own brother Habil was accepted. What would you do? What would you do? The brother said, Wallahu Akbar. He's like, SubhanAllah. Okay, wow. Okay, Ramadan. Inni sa'im, right? Huh. You're the bad guy. What would you do?
Be mad?
Okay, that's true. Okay. So what do you think? Okay, let me rephrase it because you guys are really thinking Qabil mode. I apologize. You guys can be really evil, mashallah. But I'm saying is that what Qabil should have done. That's better. Sah Munir? What Qabil should have done or should do. Go ahead. Sacrifice something else? Like what? I really like what you said, sacrifice. But now what I'm thinking is that I would see what he sacrificed. It was a white goat. Okay, get a white goat. Try it. Maybe. Right? Maybe. Fantastic. You had something to say? Someone had something to say? You would have congratulated. MashaAllah. Good one. Qabil should congratulate his brother. MashaAllah. Great job. I'm so proud to be your brother. MashaAllah. Nice. Go ahead. Allah, had I'll tell you ASAP. Ahsant, mashallah. Follow the footsteps of his brother. I want to be like you. Right? I want to be like you. What did you do? Teach me. SubhanAllah. That's what we should do. Someone is successful around you, instead of trying to talk trash about them, instead of accusing their intentions, and instead of you trying to take them down, go with them so you can go up with them. SubhanAllah. Learn. What is it that they do? SubhanAllah. So here, what will Qabil do? Qabil saw his brother succeeding. And in Islam, we know that when you see someone succeeding, and we know for sure he is righteous, Habil, right? 100%. So it's just common sense. If someone is righteous, that means Allah loves or hates them? Loves them. So are you crazy to be an enemy to someone Allah loves? You will lose. So even for your own sake, be in their circle. SubhanAllah. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful long hadith. Maybe one day I'll go in depth and go bit by bit. It's amazing hadith. But summary of it, there's a halaqa. A guy walks into the halaqa. When is the iftar for the ICD? March 29th, fantastic. March 29th, Fairlane Club, or ICD? Fairlane Club, March 29th, we'll see you here, inshallah, all right? Iftar, good stuff. I don't know what is it, but it's good stuff, inshallah. Okay? If not, take a refund. Anyone, the point being is that a guy comes on March 29th for iftar at the Fairlane Club, not to hear the Prophet said, Allah said, not to be around righteous people. The guy wants to talk to someone. The guy he wants to talk to always attends lectures. And he happens to be here March 29th. And that guy who wants to come, I heard there's iftar. I want to eat. So the guy did not come for nothing to do with Islam. just food, and meet people, like just hang out, fun. So that man who comes to the halaqah, authentic narration, after the halaqah is dismissed, after March 29th, inshallah, when we're done, everybody goes home, Allah tells the angels, all those who attended this lecture, may Allah make this lecture of them, ya Rab. Whoever attended that session, all of their sins are forgiven. Allah. So the angels, by the way, they hooked it up, so I don't want to make the angels look bad. The hadith is long. So then the angels say, ya Allah, but there's one guy. There's one guy who came to the session just to talk to their friend because they always attend, or one guy came just for the food. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? هُمُ الْجُلَسَاءُ. This is a gathering. لَا يَشْقَى بِهِمْ جَلِيسُهُمْ. This is a gathering. No one leaves as a loser. Do you see what just happened? Just because I was around righteous people, I was around them, I got forgiven. Look at the barakah. Just by being around them. I don't even know what you guys are talking about. I don't even understand half of the session. The fact that you're in attendance, just because you're among us, you will leave forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. This is one of the very few deeds in Islam that Allah does not look at your intention. Doesn't matter. You're here for dunya. You're here to get married. Doesn't matter. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant you the best. Say ameen. What, it doesn't matter. You're here with this group of people. If that's the only thing you take out of this session, inshallah, today, is that not enough? Or yes or no? Wallahi, ask yourself, and I will ask myself. And as I was putting this, I asked myself, who am I sitting around in my life? Who are you spending time with? Are they these people, the righteous? Who are you following on social media? Are they the righteous? Or are they people that you put your phone away if someone walks by? SubhanAllah, may Allah forgive us. You want something even greater than that? Greater than, like crazier than that? A dog. Excuse me? A dog, kelb. What about a kelb? Allah mentioned a dog with a group of righteous youth. Chapter number 18. Allah says, وَكَلْبُهُمْ what? بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. Allah said, there's a group of youth, very good people. They ran for their life, and they went into a cave, and there was a dog next to them. There was a dog next to them. Because the dog was next to them, he was mentioned in the Quran. Because the dog was around the youth, he is mentioned in the Quran. What if it was a respected human being like you and I, inshallah? Allahu Akbar. You see what just happened? وَكَلْبُهُمْ. They had a dog. So Allah elevated the status of a dog that some humans are not even mentioned in that way. Because the dog was around good people. So may Allah make us around good people. Say ameen. SubhanAllah. May Allah grant us righteous friendship. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Okay. Ya Qabil, what will you do? Qabil saw, oh, my brother Habil, I saw my other brother being accepted. I'm not accepted. La aqtulannak. I'm going to kill you. Oh my goodness. Are you crazy? I'll punch you. I will never talk to you. You're no longer my brother. لأقتلنك. And remember what I told you earlier in the session, I will not just dissect the ayah, we will not just dissect the word, we'll even dissect the pronunciation. لأقتلنك. There's شدة. نون التوكيد, emphasizing, I'm going to kill you. لأقتلنك. Even the Quran shows you the level of hate he has. This envy was a build-up, man. It was there for the longest time. And he was so angry. لأقتلنك. What are you doing? You want to kill me? What do I have to do with this? You blame your failure to my success? Why kill me? لأقتلنك. Do you not know that the first thing Allah will hold people accountable for on the day of judgment is what? Salah in one narration, but the first thing Allah will bring people to judge about is bloodshed. So how do I reconcile? In one hadith, Allah says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the first thing Allah will hold you accountable for is salah. Another hadith, the first thing Allah will hold accountable between people is bloodshed. Try. Fantastic. Your hand may have to speak at one point. Fantastic. When it comes between you and Allah, the first thing you'll be asked is salah. When it comes between you and the people, the first thing you'll be asked, did you do any bloodshed? Did you contribute? Subhanallah. So that's how critical the situation is. So the one who is so envious, as smart as they can be, high GPA, so on and so forth, but they start to become not intellectual. In simple English, stupid. They act weird. Envious people, they ask questions that will never be answered. And they ask questions that the answers will never satisfy them. They ask, why is he rich and I'm not? Why was she born with this color of eyes and not me? Why is my brother physically stronger? He works a few days, he's stronger than when I work for months. Why was I born to this family and they were born to that family? Because Allah said so. They will not be satisfied. So these people have an issue and they attack Allah's decree and Allah's choices. And what's so crazy about the hasid, the envious person, the only way to satisfy them is when your blessing is taken away. Not even like they get it like you. No. I want it down from you and I want to get it instead. I don't want to be no co-author. I want to be the author. Right? No partnership. I want to be at the top. Subhanallah. And that's what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphasized. وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا. Do not envy one another. It's horrible. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانَ. Be brothers, be sisters. Subhanallah. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Now the question is, are you envious? You think I'm going to raise my hand? I'm single looking to get married. I'll never raise my hand, right? May Allah grant you all the best. Say ameen. And even if you're married or single, regardless, how is the envious situation? Like, alhamdulillah, I'm not. Some people, Allah made it easy for them. But some people, you might not be envious because you have not yet been dethroned. Because you are the top in the family. Maybe because you're always the best. You're like, who will I be envious? No, I'm not envious because there's no one to be envious about. Right? Maybe you're the wealthiest guy in the family. There's no one around you that wealthy. Somehow one of the in-laws shows up, right? One of your girl cousins gets married to a really rich man, comes into the family, and he's wealthier than you. Let's talk about envy now. You see what just happened? There's a friction now, right? You're so mish'arif, Allahumma barik, very good looking, whatever the case is. And then that person has a new family member comes who looks better. That's fake. Oh, plastic surgery, 100%. Subhanallah. Say Allahumma barik, mashallah, tabarakallah, something. Right? Whatever the case is. May Allah make it easy for us. Say ameen. And what's so scary are that people in that situation. They reach the point, khalas, they're the top. And it's so scary because you have to work really hard on your intentions more than others. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says a very terrifying hadith. He says, a person will do the deeds of the people of Jannah all their life. All their life, since they were 12 and 13, 27 and 54. Allahu Akbar. Until they're on the verge of death, their time is up. And right before they die, what happens? They do a deed of the people of hell. They do something haram. They die upon it. Where do they go? Hellfire. So as people get, would Allah really do that? Like a guy, let's say someone lived 60 years. A guy lived 59 years, 364 days as an example. The day he's about to die, he does something haram, he goes to hell. There's another hadith that the Prophet explains and he like, makes sense. Ready? The other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, he used to do all these deeds, 59 years and 364 days, فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ. All his life of worship as a youth, people said, I wish my son will be like him. I wish my daughter is just like her. And she always attached. But all her life, all his life was for the people's praise and not for Allah. That's why you're like, oh, so if they look like it, then Allah exposes them at the end. May Allah forgive us. May Allah protect us. It's terrifying. Okay, now question. We're done with Qabil. We're done with Cain. We're done with them. Okay? I'm going to kill you. لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. Now, what do you think is the appropriate, or what would you do if you were Habil? You see the difference now? It's a whole different. So that's one extreme. what would you do? Huh? Go ahead, bismillah. Run. Okay, fantastic. It's like, run. No, just like, you know what I'm talking about, right? May Allah forgive us, right? Run. Okay. Mum can run. Fantastic. What else? What would you do if you're Habil? Your brother tells you, I'm going to kill you. Go ahead. Remind him it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision. Fantastic. Go ahead. Question, was Adam alayhi salam still alive at that point? Allahu ta'ala, we don't have something definite, but it appears yes.
If he was, then I would say Habil should go to his father.
Okay, if yes, if Adam was alive and we have that confirmed, have Habil, the righteous son, run to his father. I should like that, mashallah, barakallah. I'm sure your parents will be proud of the answer. Mashallah, barakallah. May Allah bless him, say ameen, his family. Okay, what will Habil do? قال إنما يتقبل الله. The one who accepted and the one who did not accept is who? Allah. The one who gives, the gives, and the one who takes is Allah. I have nothing to do with your actions not being accepted. You want to kill me, and I have no control. Like, you have no idea how no control I have over the fact that you did not get accepted, over the fact that people don't love you, over the fact people don't listen to you, over the fact that no one wants to be around you. I got nothing to do with this. You're making my success seem to be the reason of your failure. So what is Habil thinking? Habil thinking, there's an example we take it from one of the teachers, which is if, let's say, Habil, okay? Habil, let's say he gets the example that was given, 95% in their test. Habil gets 80%. So then the parents go to Habil. Oh, mashallah, you got 95%. Mashallah, great job. That's a hug, that's not a kaf. Okay. So then who looks bad? The other brother with the 80%. So the bad brother, instead of saying, how did you study for your exam? He says, if I eliminate my brother, the 80 will look good. You see what just happened? Subhanallah. May Allah protect us and guide our teachers who shared this with us. So, قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهِ. The one who accepts, the one who rejects is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one of many things Habil will do, the good man. It's Allah who judges. It's Allah who accepts. Then he tells him something profound. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. He's telling him why and how to be accepted. Remember when I asked you the question, what are the signs? He's telling you how to be accepted. Work on being a muttaqi. Work on being a devout, sincere, righteous worshiper. So he gave him the cheat code. It's just be a muttaqi. We'll explain. Just be muttaqi. Subhanallah, just the past couple days, I've been trying to work with someone. I have images of a book in Arabic, okay, which I purchased. But I also have a PDF copy. So I want it in a way that I can copy and paste certain parts of it. So when I copy and paste it, it shows like figures. You guys know how that happens? It's messed up. So I went to a website like Fiverr or something like that, where you have people like freelancers by Arabic version. It's called Khamsat. I should get a commission. Anyhow, okay, so I told the guy, I'm like, you know what? I tried AI, ChatGPT, all the stuff. AI, okay? I did everything. Lo samahat, please help me. I'm going to pay you whatever. So he said, give me a sample. I give him a sample of that type of PDF because it was just weird. Other PDFs, you can copy and paste. So I gave it to him, and then he comes back within a couple of minutes. He's like, this, like that, in a Word file. How did you do that? Right? I'm living in America. The guy's in Egypt. So I'm thinking the technology is here, but man, they're sharper. Allahumma barik. We're not generalized. May Allah bless all of us. Say ameen. And our brothers and sisters. I'm very proud of them. So what I'm going to do, I didn't tell him yet. That's between us. I'm going to tell him to finish the project, but I'm going to pay him extra to do what? Tell me, how did you do it? And I'll pay you more for teaching me than you doing the PDF. Subhanallah. So why am I sharing this with you? He told him how to be accepted by Allah. Be a muttaqi. He didn't keep it to himself. He didn't do like that one guy, true story at work. I'll never forget it. The manager told him, do such and such in Excel file. So then, I know the brother pretty well. So then, as he was doing the project, he finished it in no time. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. But the manager, what was he thinking? It takes 3-4 days. Why did the manager think it takes 3 to 4 days? Because the guy submits it in 3-4 days. And no one can do it less than that. He does it within 20 minutes. So I tell that brother, I said, Akhi, I'm not competing with him, okay? So don't think any. There's bias. I have nothing to do with his project. There's other people that are working 3-4 days around the company. Why don't you share it? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, if I share it, I will lose my job. And that's not true. I don't think so. I don't think if you help people, if you make things easy on people, inshallah, ta'ala, with an extent, obviously. If you have a recipe to your cookie, you can keep it, okay? All right? But you can share the khair. Anyhow, but there's certain things in life you have to believe. As that brother told us, may Allah grant him Jannah. When I asked him, how old are you? When you give, Allah gives you more. Keep that in mind. You make people's lives easier, God will make your life easier. Think of that. So Habil is telling his brother, you want Allah to accept? Be a muttaqi. Now, he's trying to shake some sense and knock some sense into his brother. Like, what do you mean kill me? Like, la aqtulannak, the guy is coming to kill him. Like, he's in the process. Like that's how angry he was. So when you said run, it makes sense. La aqtulannak, like, I'm going to run. I'm not even going to talk to you. First of all, he says, Allah is the one who accepts. Then he specified number two, muttaqeen. So now, what should Qabil, the bad guy in the story for now, the whole story is bad. Okay, how should he react? Okay, stop. I like that, right? Stop. Like, okay, think about what you're doing. That's your brother. What do you think? Take his brother's advice. I like that. If you be a little bit more specific. But you're right. Huh? You're in Qabil's shoes. What do you think you should do? Repent. Like, astaghfirullah, I'm sorry. Astaghfirullah, right? That's good, right? Fantastic. Try last one. Fantastic. He should be happy that his brother is successful and take that as an opportunity. I don't have to pay someone. My brother's right there. He'll do it for free from me, right? He's there. He gave me the cheat code, right? Now, if I left you with this verse, are you honestly confident in applying this? I don't get your question. Are you a boss, a master in understanding what the younger brother or the brother said about muttaqin? Can you go now give a reminder to someone or give a definition of righteousness? You see what just happened? So if you and I are in Qabil's shoe, I want to dissect the life out of this word. Agreed? Make sense? Because he told me, and I know he is successful because I saw the sign. He told me this is what brings success. So I'm going to go muttaqeen and get what's the meme and what's the ta and what's the qaf and what's the ya and what's the noon. What does it mean? What's a root word? What other meanings, derivatives? Where is it mentioned in the Quran? Make sense? You'll do everything you can. Subhanallah. I will not do that in the session in complete depth, but give you an image, a picture of what muttaqeen sounds and looks like. Ready, inshallah? Because you hear every khutbah. اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Right? يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. You hear it all the time. But you should know it because it's the key to success. As he said, يلا بسم الله. تقوى, one meaning, comes from the word وقاية, which is protection. Fantastic. Taqwa comes from the word wiqayah, which means protection. You have to bear with me. I know some definition in academics, but we have to learn it, inshallah. So, linguistically, not technically. Oh, boy, wallah, Sunday, akhi, come on, take it easy. Okay. What do you mean linguistically and technically? If I tell you what's up, linguistically, what does it mean? What is up? The ceiling, linguistically. Technically, how are you, right? Alhamdulillah, muttaqi is not that big of a difference. Okay, it's not ceiling and how are you. Muttaqi, linguistically, means protection. So if I tell someone, ittaqi al-corona, as an example, what does it mean now? Protect yourself from COVID. Now, besides existence, that's not the point, okay? Protect yourself from COVID. اتقي الكورونا اتقي النار. Protect yourself from the fire. Okay. What does that look like? What does it look like? If I tell you, اتقي the COVID. Protect yourself from COVID. Okay, how does that protection look like? Yeah, I want to take some from the brothers and some from the sisters. Let's see who wins. Okay, let's see how much taqwa we have. Tell me one. Go ahead. Tell me one way to protect ourselves from COVID. Okay, let's say wear a mask. Fantastic, that's his taqwa. Anyone has more taqwa? Wash your hands. That's level 2 taqwa. Level 3? Vaccine, mashallah. Okay. 4? Distance, mashallah. Level 4 taqwa. Any muttaqeen here? Mashallah, we have a muttaqeen. Go ahead. Level 6? Fantastic. Make like dua to Allah that he does not make you get affected. Fantastic. That's level 6 taqwa. Anyone has righteousness more than him? Towards the corona? You're the most righteous so far. Go ahead. Stay cleansed, like always, to make sure everything is clean. Last one. MashaAllah, make sure you have all the resources, all the means. You buy whatever is necessary, subhanAllah, all that good stuff. So you see what just happened? That's what taqwa looks like towards COVID. You do this, and I do that, and I do this. And you notice what? There are levels to it. Some people, I was waiting for someone to tell me something. The booster. I have the most taqwa in that. No, I don't have most, right? So see, there's booster, right? SubhanAllah. May Allah protect us. Now, let's go technical, not linguistic. Technical, ittaqillah. That's what he's telling him. For Allah to accept, you have to have ittaqillah. It means protect yourself from Allah. Meaning, one of them, protect yourself from Allah's anger. Simple, simple, simple. Fear Allah. Right? So ittaqillah, protect yourself from Allah. Protect yourself from Allah's anger. How does that look like? You see what just happened? Now, what's the mask that I gotta wear? The hijab, right? That's one of them. MashaAllah, that's right. That's one of them. That's one of them. That's true. So, yes or no? Fantastic. That is one of them. Okay. What else? Go ahead. Pray. Nice. Sisters. Go ahead. Go ahead. Move away from the haram. So now what just happened? He told me salah. He said move away from that. Fantastic. So the haram, I avoid. The, something I have to do, I go to. It's like you know, I'm not sure what is it called. Like, what is it called? Yes, that one. Whatever. Okay. What is it called one more time? Hopscotch. You can tell. That's where my fabness kicks in, right? I'm like, wallah, I knew it. Wallah, when I saw you, I knew it. Yeah, and it was, it's okay, we'll pass. Hey, this one, okay? So now taqwa is like, okay, I gotta do this, then. That's what taqwa is, right? So now, now it's dhuhr. Where's dhuhr? Dhuhr. If you go anywhere else, you lost. You're getting the COVID. You're getting jahannam. May Allah protect us. Right, okay. Now what? My mom said, let's go this. Now what happens is that when you have two and you're not sure, that's where knowledge kicks in. That's where your turbo, like, according to Islam, this hadith, this ayah, the calculations, I should be going to the right. It's more higher priority, right? But the point being here is that taqwa of Allah, be where you want Allah to see you be. Taqwa of Allah, do not be in a place you don't want Allah to see you at. Do you want Allah to see you watching that thing? La. Okay, put it away. You want Allah to see you in the masjid? You're supposed to be at the masjid, right? May Allah make it easy for all of us. Ya Rabbil Alameen. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. There's so many things about taqwa to be spoken about. What will he say next? Remember, لَا أَقْتُلْ عَنَّكَ. I want you to imagine, this guy's like angry. لَإِنْ بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي. If you're going to extend your hand to kill me, will you notice what just happened? He addressed the matter of Allah before he addressed the matter of his life. Now he's talking about, what do you mean kill me? Before he says, Allah is the one who accepts and doesn't accept. Allah accepts from the righteous. If you want to go and kill me, Allahu Akbar. Da'wah, calling to Allah till the last breath. May Allah make us like that righteous man. Amir Rabbil Alameen. He says, if you extend your arm, if you're going to swing that sword and kill me, what will he do? Ajeeb, he will do something few humans can do. May Allah not ever make us in that situation. Say ameen. He says, if you raise your hand to kill me, I will not raise mine to kill you. Ajeeb. Ma ana la. ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك. I will never extend my arm and kill you. And here, it showed us something very sensitive within the Muslim Ummah. There should be no bloodshed. That's a default setting, especially among the Muslims. Bloodshed is never the goal, ever. It's never a goal, especially with the believers. A'udhu billah. Like, alhamdulillah, we don't do bloodshed, but we backbite. May Allah forgive us. We may gossip. May Allah protect us. Look how serious the case is. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا تَوَاجَهَا, if two Muslims faced one another with their swords, with their guns. Oh, really? You say that? Let's go outside. Let's settle it outside. تعال برا. Let's go outside. Right? And you have the guns and whatever the case is. Then the one who commits the murder, so one of them will die because they fight till death. The one who kills goes to hell, and the one who is killed goes to hell. So the companions, they heard, they said, Ya Rasulullah, the murderer, the killer, we understand. But why would the one being killed also go to hell? Because he says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصًا عَلَىٰ قَتْلِهِ, because he wanted to kill him. And the only thing that stopped him from killing him is that he got killed. So you're just as guilty. You went, you did this, just complete, just bloodshed, something silly, something meaningless. You cut me off. Well, I'm going to show you. They go outside, got their guns, and this happens. May Allah make it easy for us and protect us. Al-qatil wal-maqtul. You don't go around and judge people by name, oh, based on that news, you're this. No, leave it to Allah to judge. So he tells him, the first thing, it's Allah who judges, right? يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهِ. What's the other thing? He told him who Allah accepts from. They are al-muttaqeen. Then he emphasized something so profound. If you want to raise your hand to kill me, I will not raise your hand to kill you. So that's three. He's trying to change his brother's mind. Like, come on. Then he's going to tell him fourth thing. He says, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I don't want you to think that, oh, I will not fight you because you will knock me out, you're way too strong, you already have a gun, I don't have anything. No, the only reason I will not kill you is that I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who is righteous is scared of Allah. So he's reminding him, I'm scared and I'm winning. You should be terrified to your core because you were the one who failed. Make sense? إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So then Habil was kind, was gentle, was clear, trying to knock some sense in him. We're brothers. I will never raise a hand on you. You're my blood brother. Then he's going to go all out fear mode. He's going to go say something so strong, which is, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَن تَبُوءَ بِإِثْمِي وَإِثْمِكَ. I want you. If this is it, if you're coming, you're making up your mind, this is it, this was a build-up, and now you want to kill me over this, then I want you to know, if you end up killing me, I want you to take my sins. In addition, وَإِثْمِكْ, and your sins. فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. Then you go to hell. Then may you go to hell. He told that to his brother. If you're making up your mind, and this is it, and you're coming, and you will eventually kill them, then I'm going to tell you from now, I wish you hell. So you see the balance? Not a softy like, yeah, sure. No, it's not like that. He is angry, and he's very upset. He does not want things to end that way. Though in the scripture, what was it? Who was stronger? The righteous. Now, maybe I can use that to intensify the story a little bit. Sure. He was stronger. Like, I can beat you up. You're so, right? He says, may you go to hell. Is that okay to say something like that? Why you say yes? It's in the Quran, fantastic. You're close. But there's other bad things that are mentioned in the Quran in terms of bad actions. But what makes you say yes? Because Allah said he's a good guy. Allah is giving us that this is the role model for us to follow. So here is an example. There's many ways to relate to this or act upon this. This shows you that it's okay to pray against the one who hurts you. Right? May you go to hell because of what you did to me and what you're doing to our family, and. Even the muttaqi did it. The Prophet ﷺ did it. So don't go make people feel guilty. Like, why make dua against them? If they want to, let them be. The Prophet ﷺ was very forgiving. But certain people, he just shot it all out. Abu Jahl, right? He made dua against him. Allahumma alayka bi Abi Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham. He named few people, was not a lot. But there's few people he could not that say, I'm done with you. Uqba bin Abi Ma'it, you're done. May you go to hell. Uqba was laughing. But when he heard the Prophet making dua, he's like, whoa, Muhammad ar-Rahim made dua, that's big. Right? So he says, if khalas, you kill me, then may you go to hell, and then you take all my sins. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِ اسمع. Don't say, oh, I exaggerated, I overreacted. No, that's the reward of the oppressors. That's what you deserve. Subhanallah. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Ya Rabbil Alameen. And this, subhanallah, about the sins of his being thrown, we have a hadith about this. The hadith of the bankrupt, remember it? What hadith of the bankrupt? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, do you know who's the muflis, who's the bankrupt? They said what we say today, 2024. The bankrupt is the one who has no money or no assets, like bankrupt, loss. So he says the real bankrupt is the one who comes with a lot of good deeds. Day of judgment, loaded. Salah, siyam, sadaqah. He nailed all three. Charity, right and left. MashaAllah, we have this sister, we have that brother. Very high, generous donor in our community. And they fast even beyond Ramadan. And they pray beyond the five-day prayers. How much hasanat that person has? A lot, right? They come loaded. But, walakin, that person killed someone. And that person cursed at someone. And that same person gossiped at someone. So what happens? The one that got hurt will be coming to the one with all these good deeds. Hey, give me some of this. Why? You spoke trash about me, or you killed me, or you did this to me. So they take good deeds equal to what? To the level of pain, to the level of oppression, and Allah's fairest judge. So he's telling him, on that day, I will want to pass all my sins on to you. And that's his humbleness, by the way. His humbleness is, I want to pass my sins. God knows if he has sins to begin with. He didn't say, I want to add your good deeds to mine. SubhanAllah, even the wording, everything is like art. Allahumma barik, better. So then what happens? If you reach a point that you, as an oppressed, give sins, what does it mean? You're not taking good deeds. It means the guy who wronged you ran away from good deeds. So then you go to him, hey, you spoke bad about me. Listen, man, I spoke about 15,000 people at Fortson High School. I got no good deeds to give. I'm done. So, too bad for you. You're number 15,001. So the guy says, don't worry. I will not be able to take good deeds from you. I will pass bad deeds from me to you. So this man was so heavy in good deeds. So heavy good deeds. It got light, 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 light. Then it got so heavy in bad deeds. فَيُقْضَفَ فِي النَّارِ Then pushed into hellfire. May Allah protect us. Wallah, we work way too hard for our charity, right? We work way too hard for our fasting, yes or no? We work way too hard for qiyam. Your calves and all this stuff, and you have work the next day. Too hard, way too hard. You want to give it away just like that? Oh, the guy's weird. The guy's like, talk trash about people, hurt people, gossip. Wow, you worked way too hard. An hour and a half qiyam. And then after 4 rak'ah, 10-minute donation fundraiser. Allah hawla wa quwwata illa billah, right? May Allah make it easy. Yeah, I mean. Then the guy next to you burps, right? And you're like suffering, and like, jihad, ya Rab, ameen, right, ya Rab. All that stuff, then in the parking lot, look at this car. Is he not embarrassed to drive a car like that? This is what the guy can afford. SubhanAllah, is it worth it? So this man says, I want you to bear all these sins. SubhanAllah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is he saying? فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ His soul, khalas, molded in a way, like shifted, that now I'm going to kill you. I accept that you deserve to be killed. فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ His soul, you can tell, طَوَّعَتْ It's like you're working on something. This shows you that there was some sort of good consciousness that existed in every human being. So he had to battle the inside because we have النَّفْسِ الْأَمَّارَ بِالسُّوءِ The soul that commands evil. You have that in you. And you have what? There's three types. Al-ammara bis-su, the one that calls you to do bad. Hey, I do it. It's okay. Who cares? No one is watching. Then you have al-lawama. Al-lawama, the one that that soul of yours kicks in when you do something that is wrong. Like when you do something that's wrong, like, I don't think that was right. That's nafs lawama. And when does it kick in as well? When you miss a good opportunity. You should have went. So doesn't people think only comes when you're about to sin or you sinned? No. Like, I should have never done that. But there's an elite level. What's it, which is? And nafs al-mutma'inna. May Allah make us all of it. Elite. Peace, tranquility, alhamdulillah. We beat trials and tribulations that we face. We're very strong. So this guy, whatever good, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَ. So there's like good and bad, good and evil. So then طَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُ. خَلَاص, evil took over. So when the evil took over, look what Allah says. Wallahi, may Allah grant us, Ya Rabbi Al-Ameen, the understanding of the Quran. Always, Ya Rabb. فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُ قَتْلَهُ. Say it. أخيه. Allah says he was willing to kill his أخو. Are you willing to cut off your brother? Over what? Allah's reminding you, هذا أخوك. أختك, that's your sister. You really are not talking to your own blood brother and sister over that? Is that something you can tell us now in public that there was something that's worth it? If you cannot, then maybe. It is something that is not worth it. Like, why are you not talking to your own blood brother? Well, something personal. Okay, I'll help you. No, I can't talk about it. Sometimes, you know why you don't want to talk about it? Because it's silly. Not because it's really private and a big deal. Are you really, as parents, having this issue in front of the children, talking about relatives? Really? Ahuk, blood. Ties of kinship. Can you imagine? You asked me about Adam. Was he there or not? We don't know exactly, but we know for a fact Adam was educated. We know Allah taught Adam al-asma'a kullaha. Allah taught Adam righteousness. When Adam was in the heavens, what was tied to the throne of God? Allah's throne, there was something attached to it. في شيء معلق في العرش. What is that thing attached to God's throne? Ties of kinship. Family relationships. Like, I don't get it. It's intangible. Allah made it tangible. Allah made it a thing. Family relationships looks like a thing. And that thing, until this day, and wallah, as I'm speaking, it is also speaking, because the Prophet said so, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's clinging into God's throne and says, "Man qata'ani qata'ahu Allah, wa man wasalani wasalahu Allah." Whoever cuts me, Allah will cut them off. Whoever connects with me, Allah will connect with them. Who's saying that? Family relationships. Is it worth it? So Allah says, his soul accepted that I'm going to kill my own brother. Then what happened? فقتله. He killed him. Horrible situation. In one narration, it says that he brought like a rock and so, and he went and he smacked his head with it. Bloodshed. فقتل, and he killed him. May Allah forgive us, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin. And right when he killed him, Shaytan made it seem to him that you'll be good. Right when he killed him, فقتل, what happened? فأصبح من الخاسرين. You became a loser. You have been stamped. It's been ingrained on you. You're a loser. You lost this life, and you'll be very much what? By yourself. Who wants to be around you? You lost the dunya. You think now your family are proud to be with you? You think the community feels safe towards you? You chose to commit murder? You're a loser in the dunya. And where? In the akhirah. Which is, brothers and sisters, one of the most painful punishments you might see in the entire Quran. In the whole Quran, I will tell you the punishment of the one who commits murder with no justification. Ready? Yalla bismillah, and count the number of punishments. You will perhaps not see anything in the Quran cover to cover like the punishment Allah prepared for bloodshed. And this story is being shared to all humans, especially Bani Israel, who are committing bloodshed more than anyone. So Allah says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. The one who kills their believing brother or sister intentionally. فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. Yalla, number one. What's their destination? Jahannam, hellfire. خَالِدًا فِيهَا. You'll be in hell forever. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And Allah will be angry at you. وَلَعْنَهُ. And Allah will curse them. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. And Allah prepared a severe punishment. Five. Where in the Quran you'll see something like that? Where? Blood is sacred in Islam. It's not a joke. It's not something light. And imagine our brothers and sisters being killed. It should hurt us. We should make dua, احقن دماءهم, Ya رب العالمين, Ya Allah, please stop that bloodshed. Ya Allah, we're not for that. Ya Allah, please help us. Ya Allah, may Allah grant victory to the believers. Ya رب العالمين. Subhanallah. فقتله. فأصبح من الخاسرين. Then what happened? The body is there. What do I do? خلاص, we're reaching the end. What do? The body is there. He says, فبعث الله غرابا. He doesn't know how to bury. The first murder ever on earth. The first crime ever on planet earth. He killed someone, doesn't know how to bury them. That's why, it's a personal opinion, it makes sense that Adam was still alive. Because if Adam passed away, he would have known how to bury. Allahu A'lam. Fair enough. So Allah sent a crow. Did I pronounce it correctly? A crow. Ghurab. Crow, ghurab. The name matches the situation. Ghurab. What's ghurab? Ghurab comes from ghurba, ightirab, come from estranged, come from alienated. Ghurab, that's the name of the animal, because that person who commits that deed will be alienated. So Allah sends the ghurab. What is the ghurab doing? يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. It was digging like a grave. Some said it was another bird. So it's digging the grave with its mouth, etc. Then, why did Allah do that? Why did Allah send the ghurab? Because look what happened. فَبَعَثَ what? Allah sent it. So Allah can send an animal to you to guide you. And a squirrel. You're on your computer doing something messed up. A squirrel comes next to your window. Allah, why we send that squirrel? No joke, wallah. Because Allah sent a ghurab to Qabil to know how to bury his own brother. Allah sends you signs. You're like, whatever. SubhanAllah, may Allah forgive us. So فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, digging a grave in the ground. So what happened after that? لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ, in order to show him how to bury his brother. So Allah wants to honor the righteous, not because he likes the other guy, no. He's like, I could not even be, I failed to be like a crow. فَأُوَارِيَ سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ, and to cover up the body of my brother. Oh, he regretted. You teach us all the time when you regret, that's a step towards Allah's forgiveness. He did not regret for the fear of Allah. He regretted that he could not cover it up. Then he regretted, and it was so, so painful to him. But that pain will not benefit him, because it was not pain that pushes to change. It was pain to continue cover the oppression. This was a story revealed to Bani Israel. This was a story revealed to the Yahud in Yathrib in Medina. Did they listen? Most of them did not. But are you and I going to listen? Inshallah. Say inshallah. Because this story is in our book. It's in our Quran. And Bani Israel are very similar to Ummat Muhammad. There's a lot of similarities. We got to learn from their mistakes. We don't repeat it, inshallah. Thank you so much for your patience. You guys have been awesome. Jazakumullahu khairan. If you have any questions, I'll stay, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.